Thank you, Benji, for those songs. And this morning, I thought, well, maybe I should mention, in my prayer, I prayed for this Troy Root, and I forgot to mention what happened. A sprayer blew up in his face, and I seen a picture of it, and it looks very painful and very, going to take a long time to heal. So remember, you can think of him in your prayers. So this morning, is the message I want to share is a message that I was going to share 2 months ago when I was not feeling so good, and Jim took over and last minute shared a message, and he's not even here to thank him for that, but the last 2 months or so, I was supposed to stay away from certain foods. I hate it like crazy, but anyway, certain things not supposed to be eating, and certain drinks, acidic drinks and soda, things like that. So it leaves me with water. And water is, I've been drinking a lot of water. And it's very good for you. It's good for me to drink a lot. What it does is it flushes out toxins and water cleanses. And water is necessary for life. It really is. Water is necessary for life. The message this morning title is The Water of Life. We'll look a little bit, talk about water today. There was this past week on Thursday, I believe it was, I was at a museum on a school trip with Chloe on a school trip, and I came across this phrase about water. I'm going to read it this time. Water is one of our most valuable mineral resources. Much of the water provided by precipitation runs off the surface or is returned to the atmosphere by plants. Considerable amounts of water percolate downward to fill voids in gravel and bedrock. This is known as groundwater and slowly released flows from springs and supplies our wells. Water is not only life-sustaining, but is necessary in the manufacture and processing of almost all consumer products. So thinking about the things that we consumers buy, and many of these things, water is an element of that. I thought that was very interesting. And water, as I mentioned before, is necessary for life. It's a part of our everyday living. Water is a part of our lives. We could not survive without it. In fact, with a shortage of water, it presents a problem. And different places over the world where there's a shortage of water, say like a desert, or I know in California there are certain places where the ag producers in a certain area have dug wells really deep, way down, and it brought the water level, the water table down. So some of these homeowners in developments or wherever in the area had to have like a water tank and slowly bring in water because it wasn't enough. The wells were not able to keep after the water supply, and it presented a problem. Without water, it's a big problem. You need water. And so with our lives today, more than ever, do we need living water? And I want to talk about the living water, the water of life, this morning. We need living water to supply our needs spiritually. We really do. And I want to talk about that this morning. Living water brings satisfaction. Satisfaction that this world so much longs for. And you don't have to go far on the news to see so much chaos. Just yesterday, I checked the news a little bit. I don't do that very often, but just to see what's on the news for yesterday. Well, three major things that I seen on the news. One was in Taiwan Parliament, there was punching. In the government parliament, they got into a fight and there was punching. Another news clip was some celebrity was punching his girlfriend. It was a video of he was upset at her. I don't know the story, and doesn't matter. Another one, that in the United States government, in one of their sessions, there was shouting and there was very ungodly things being thrown at each other, just anger back and forth at each other. And so, as we see in our world today, Our world desperately needs living water. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. I just want to look at this first verse in Psalm 63 and just look at that a little bit. It says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Imagine David here in the desert. It says, in my Bible, it says he was in the wilderness of Judah. And so this was a wilderness. David was in a wilderness, and he was, there was probably no water around. There was probably, because he says his soul thirsteth for God. His flesh longeth for God in a dry and thirsty land. And I believe it was a dry and thirsty land. And you know, this morning, are we living in a dry and thirsty land this morning? I believe we are. But you know, at the same time, we live in a society where much of society today does not thirst for God. Much of society today has so many things to fill their time with that they don't need to thirst for God. They don't desire to thirst for God. It goes from entertainment to everything that they have. They have screens to keep their entertainment going. And so many other things. Just what's for the, you know, the next excitement, the next thing that they can get for excitement. And as I think about David in this section here, he lived in a dry land, literally. He was in this wilderness, and you know, he's thirsting and he is longing for God, for living water. And you know, today, is this us today? Do we thirst for God in America, with our needs, our physical needs being supplied? Do we really thirst for this living water? Do we have a hunger for the things of God? You know, last night, before I fell asleep, the question was running through my mind: what are we thirsting for? What am I thirsting for? And I fell asleep thinking about that. What are we thirsting for? You know, what is it that we are longing for? And I think one thing to think about is, what do we think about most? What runs through our mind most in the day's time? What are we focusing on, our thoughts most in a day's time? And I think that's a key indicator of what we are thirsting for. So why don't we turn to John chapter 4. I'm not going to use this as the... I'm not going to spend a lot of time on John chapter 4, but I want to spend a little bit of time here on John 4, verse 7 to 10. It's a very familiar passage of the woman at the well. This was a divine appointment. It says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." Verse 8, "For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." What is your thoughts on living water? What is living water to you? Just I'd like to open it up, but I'm not going to bother this morning. But just thinking of what is living water to you? I believe living and abiding in the life-giving power and life-sustaining nutrients of God and his word. And you know, as Jesus spoke here these words, "Give me to drink," I can almost see the compassion in his voice as he said that to her, "Give me to drink." And you know, that spoke volumes to this woman when this man asked of her for a drink. You know, that did not, in the day and age in here with the Samaritans, that did not That was not very common, for a man to ask a Samaritan woman for something. And thinking of this, Jesus, you know, here Jesus, he could see right past who she was. And he could see her heart. And I believe Jesus showed right here in this passage that the gospel is not just for the Jews. The gospel is for all men across the board. And, you know, if to think who this woman was speaking to, Jesus is asking her for a drink of water. He's the creator of the universe. He created the water. He created the well. He created everything that was that she could see. And, you know, here he is asking for a drink from her, a Samaritan, the lowest class of the area. You know, and how is it that she has anything to offer? How is it that she has anything to offer? This was God who made the fountains of water come from the rock when they were in the wilderness. And, you know, they struck the rock and the water came out. This was the God that, you know, was able to do that. And he could have made water gush right out of this well, what do they call them, wells that continually bring water up out of the ground. You know, he could have done that. But, you know, here he is asking her, you know, what she wanted, he didn't need anything from her, water. What he wanted was he desired something from her. And what was it? It was her worship and her allegiance is what he desired from this woman. And so to plead for that, he used an illustration of their day that they could understand, and that was water, something that they used every single day. He used that as an illustration, you know, to be able to show her what living water really is. And so I want to do that this morning, compare a little bit water with the living water that it comes from Jesus. And so the first thing I want to look at is water is God's gift to man. Water is God's gift. It is literally a gift to us. And it's interesting to note how water recycles, how it rains on the earth, and then it evaporates, and it's like a constant cycle. It evaporates, and then it rains back down onto the earth again. And it's really a blessing when it's dry for a whole month in the summertime, and then it just rains on the earth. What a blessing it is. And, you know, many people have dug wells, and you dig a well, and unsure, you don't know if you're going to get water or not, hoping that water is going to come out, but then you dig down into the ground, and water comes out of the ground. And at our place, we have a well that's pretty deep, I think 300 or 400 feet deep, and we don't get very much water. It might be 1 or 2 gallon a minute, I think it is. It's not much. It's enough for what we need, but if we run the sprinkler for the yard all night long, we run out of water. And so we have a spring house close by that is continually running. Like it runs, there's a pipe that comes out right out of the rock and continually runs right past, basically past the well and down to the creek. And so that's a constant supply of water. And it's interesting to note that, you know, we can dig down into the ground 300 or 400 feet and get very little water, and yet right on top of the ground is just constantly flowing with water. And water is mentioned 722 times in the Bible, more than faith, hope, prayer, and worship. Not to mean at all that those aren't important, but I think we should. It's something we can note that it is mentioned so many times. And in areas in the Middle East where water was scarce, it was a desert area, I believe the first thing they would do is dig a well. A settlement would come into an area, and that's what they would do, dig a well. And many of these wells were in certain areas of the where the story was taken here. And Jesus knew that this here would hit home to them and be something that she could relate to in his plea for her to find living water. Secondly, water is necessary for life. And I think I said that before. Without water, you would die. There's not a single living organism on the face of this earth that doesn't need water. Not a single living organism that doesn't need water to survive. I mean, there's desert animals that can go for years without water. But they still do need a little bit. And I've read stories where, like, in the desert, there'll be certain areas in the desert where maybe in Australia or somewhere where there's large areas without trees, and then you'll find a tree, right, kind of in a clump of trees in the middle somewhere. And that area, kangaroos will fight for that shade. They will fight each other to get in that shade, to find shade in the afternoon sun, and to find moisture there, I guess, from condensation or whatever it is. You know, in the same way, we cannot survive without Christ. He's thinking of water flowing, water continuously flowing. Christ needs to be flowing through us, and we need to continually have that living water flowing through us if we want to survive. If you would go 3 or 4 days without water, you would die. And the same way with Jesus and getting nourishment from his word. If we would go a couple days without reading his word, we would soon be looking pretty shriveled up spiritually, wouldn't we? And I think if we can go 4 days without reading God's word, I think that should, and it doesn't affect us, I think that should be red flags for us. We cannot survive without him controlling us and supplying us with that living water. So let's turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, right at the beginning. Look a little bit here, something I want to look at briefly. Something for you to think about. Which day in creation was water created? Just, you don't have to say it, but I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are. Which day water was created? Different people say different days. Some people say the first day. Some people say the second day. Some people say the third and even the fifth day. Some people say water, there always was water. Well, my take is, let's read the verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So I don't know what that all means there in verse 2. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This was before there was light created, before the earth was even created. It appears to me that there was waters. Now, some people would say that there was always water. Well, God created everything. According to Colossians 1, verse 16, God created all things, visible and invisible. So it was created. I don't know. I would have a tendency to think right at the first day there was water. I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are, but it was created. But one thing we do know, it was created before man was created. Before most anything else in this earth, there was water, which shows that how important it is. It was a very necessary element of life in the world before man was created. And so, verse 2, face of the deep, I read over that, verse 2. And then verses 1 through 10, it tells of separating the waters from the firmament and separate. So in other words, the earth was created and the waters would have separated. I don't understand all of that, and it doesn't really matter at this point, but we do know in that it says, which verse is it? It says, and the dry land was appeared. So there was this large body of oceans, which we have today, which make up a very large percentage of the earth. And oceans are all connected by a large mass of water making up about 71% of the earth. So 71% of the earth is oceans, is water. 320 million cubic miles of water. And why so much? Because it is essential. And it's interesting to note that, to think about that, much of our water that we get from rainwater comes from because of the oceans. Because of the oceans, the water evaporating and then descending again, forming clouds and descending on the earth. It's God's gift to man. The human body is about 60 to 70% water. So it's hard to fathom that, but 70% of your body is water. If you took all the water away, you'd have like 30% of you left. So you could not survive. Your bones are 31% water. So as I said before, water is essential for physical life, and so is living water for our spiritual lives. What would life be like without Jesus if he would have never came to this earth and we would never have him to die for us and to supply our lives with the necessary element for life? Thirdly, water descends from heaven in its purity. As we think about rainwater coming down on the earth, for the most part, rainwater is pure. I mean, there's people that would, skeptics or people that would say because of the pollution, you know, it's maybe not as pure. But if you would, for the most part, rainwater is pure. You can drink. If you're stranded in the ocean in a boat and it rains, you can survive off of rainwater. It's pure. It descends from heaven in its purity. And some people use rainwater to wash vehicles for spot-free rins. It doesn't have all the bad impurities and the bad minerals that were left behind when it evaporated. And so Jesus Christ descended from heaven in purity. And I just want to, we're not going to turn there, but in John chapter 6, it's mentioned, Jesus mentions about five different times in his words that he descended down from heaven. He came down from heaven. And it's just an interesting correlation there. Jesus Christ descended from heaven in his purity to bring salvation to mankind. At the same time, water descends from heaven in its purity. Fourthly, water refreshes and satisfies. And I can only imagine if it was 90 degrees in here in this building, thanks to the trustees for keeping it at a nice cool temperature. But if it was 90 degrees in here, this water here would taste very good. I would need this water so much more. And water refreshes and satisfies. It is refreshing on a hot summer day to drink water, and it quenches your thirst. I mean, there's many times where you can drink Gatorade and things like that in the summertime. It leaves a bad aftertaste, but water normally doesn't. And turn with me to John chapter 6. I'm going to read a passage in John chapter 6. This is the words of Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So do you find it that way? Do you find Jesus to satisfy in your life? There's two words here that we want to look at. It says, he that cometh to me and believeth on me. So there's two words there, cometh and believeth. Those two words stand out to me in this verse. So it's up to us. You know, it's up to us to come to Jesus and believe. We need to open our hearts. We need to allow Jesus to come, to quench, to satisfy our thirst, and allow him to satisfy us with living water. And it even explains it even better in John chapter 7. You can go back there if you want. John chapter 7 and verse 37 and 38. I want to read that as well. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And verse 37, I want to note the word that when Jesus stood up and cried, it says, he stood up and cried. I think that was emphatic. It was emphatically. I believe Jesus emphasized a point that he was trying to make. It wasn't just, he didn't just say, you know, if anyone thirsts, just come on over, there's water here. I believe there was desperation in his voice when he stood up and he cried. I believe there was desperation for souls there, for people to come. You know, and the setting here in this section of verses was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a time of sacrifice. It was a time where people would live in a tent for like a week. They would live in these tents. It was like and they would have a ceremony at the Pool of Siloam. They would draw water and pray for rain across the world. And it was kind of like a ceremonial thing that they would do every year. And so Jesus was there, and he's seen that. He's seen them drawing water out of this pool and as a ceremonial thing. And, you know, he wanted to make it practical to them, to be able to understand. And so he stood up and he cried. And, you know, he wanted to open their calloused hearts, their hearts that had become callous from all of the rituals and stuff that they were involved in. He wanted to open their hearts and allow them to be able to see that he has so much more to offer, the living water. And it's open for all men. Out of his belly, he that believeth on me. You know, it was open for anyone, for anybody that wants to drink and come to him. And one thing I want to note here briefly is the fact that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. He spoke to his adversaries, those who were offended, those that did not like him, those that wanted to kill him, in fact. That's who he was speaking to, because they were there. They would have been at this feast, all the Pharisees and all those that did not like Jesus at the time. And he spoke to them. And that is one reason why that should draw us to him, because he not only spoke to those who loved him and his disciples and those that followed him, but it was all the adversaries and those that hated him as well. It was open for everybody. And that's what should draw us to him, that he offers living water. Fifthly, one never tires of it. And, you know, I just thinking of water, you can drink water on a hot summer day, maybe after 2 gallons of a day of drinking water, maybe you're tired of it, but for the most part you don't tire of it. And at the same time, have you ever heard of somebody say, I am so tired of living for Jesus, I'm so tired of living in victory? And you don't hear that. And so, as the verse says, as the deer panteth for water, so my soul longeth after you. And, you know, an animal or a deer, when they are thirsty, that's the only thing that they long for. It's the only thing that they want, is a drink of water. And so, when we are thirsting, is Christ the only thing that we want to go to quench our thirst? So, in conclusion, the water of life. And I want to look a little bit at the power of water. As we think about power, water has power. If you think of Niagara Falls, there is over 75,000 gallons of water every second. So every second, there is a very large amount of water going over Niagara Falls. And we think of the power, the abundant, continuous flow of water that is going over Niagara Falls or any other waterfall, and used to power plants, and has a lot of power. And at the same time, Jesus wants us to live in his power, the power of his blood. Jesus, you know, he comes to anyone, everyone, the lowest of the low, the outcast, the most wretched sinner. He draws them to himself. And, you know, I don't know this morning, I don't know where each one of you are at this morning, but Jesus is calling us to come and drink. He's calling us to drink and to be satisfied. And we can come to him with our failures. We can come to him with our anything, imperfections, sin. We can come to him and he will fill us with the living water. And we sure need him in these times. We sure do need Jesus, his living water, in these times in which we live. One more verse I want to look at is the last book of the Bible. We looked at water. Water is in the very first book of the Bible and also in the very last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. This is an invitation to drink. It says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So notice, there it says, those who are thirsty and those who hear. That's the invitation for those who are thirsty and those who hear. And, you know, if we're not living in victory, if we are not living, if we're not living in victory, maybe it's because we're not thirsty. And the Holy Spirit will be poured out on those who are hearing and those who are thirsty. And so, activated by those who are hearing and thirsty. And so, one thing we do know is that it is not forced. This living water is not forced on anybody. It's only for those who are listening and thirsty. And so, my desire this morning is that each one of you can be overflowing in the love of Jesus. And then so in turn, we can offer that to others, and we can go out in the world today and offer that living water to others. And three words that is mentioned here, it says, whosoever will. You know, those three words make it the beauty of the gospel message, because it's open for anybody. It's open for all. And that is so beautiful, that it's not forced upon anyone. So I just want to encourage you this morning to, you know, if maybe this morning, maybe you've never tasted the living water, maybe you've never accepted the Lord, call on him. Go to somebody ask them to pray with you and accept Jesus Christ. You know, if there's if you've never tasted of that living water, and also maybe you just need to be rejuvenated, you need to be refilled again, you know, pray to Jesus and he can fill you. He will come and fill you and satisfy you if you ask him. There's that living water is available. It's available for each one of us. And Jesus wants us to be filled and he wants us to be satisfied. And that is available through Jesus Christ. So may God bless you, richly bless you, and go with you this week and continue faithfully trusting in him, reading his word, and allowing him to fill you, and he will fulfill the desires of your heart. I'll have a prayer, and then after the prayer, we can have a song, and then you can consider yourselves dismissed. So at this time, let's all stand for a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you again for living water that is so readily available to each one who is listening and calling on you. Lord, we thank you for that, and thank you that it's a free gift for each one of us and for whosoever will. I pray, God, for each one here this morning that they can trust in you, and that they could accept the free gift of salvation, which is available to all men. And we thank you for your love and your compassion and your mercy to us. I just pray that you would Help us as we go from here just to follow you and to keep you first in everything we do and say, and just be with us as we go from here. May your holy name be honored and glorified. We thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you will do for us in the future. We thank you for being our Father and our God in heaven. Just be with us as we go from here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.